Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. It's good to be with you again. My name's Rick Hopkins, chairman of CCTA and your host this morning for Wake Up Call. And I'm in the studios today with Hal and Rainer James here at Fernwood Studios. Also, we have Kim Fink, who is chairman of our North Carolina Public Education Watchdog Committee in CCTA, and Jerry Egolf with the North Carolina Education Coalition. So I guess you can figure out by that we're going to be talking about education today. Guys, you know, I get a lot of email every day, and one of the things that seems to dominate it is Common Core, A Push, and things that are going on with public education. I get dozens of them every day. Jerry, I understand that your group recently had the opportunity to present the North Carolina plan at a function, and that went real well. You want to tell us about that?
Rick. We had the opportunity to present the North Carolina education plan to the Academic Standards Review Commission, which was tasked by the legislature and the governor to select an alternate standard to the Common Core state standards. It went very, very well. It was well received. The questions that they asked us were legitimate questions. There were no gotchas. And I think we left a pretty positive impression on the commission. We were told afterwards by several members that we gave them a lot to think about.
All right. Now, for our viewers or listeners that might not be aware of what the North Carolina Academic Standards Review Commission is, that came about as legislation that was introduced to remove Common Core from state statutes, an attempt to stop Common Core here in North Carolina. So the review commission was established by the legislature to review Common Core and come up with alternatives or changes that could be made. And Jerry's group has the North Carolina plan, which is an alternative to Common Core. And it's been getting some publicity around the nation, not just here in North Carolina. I understand there are some other states that are interested in possibly implementing it.
Especially Connecticut, Wisconsin, and Florida. Connecticut is very interested in it. As soon as we finish this next version, they want it so they can push it forward to their through their process and their legislature to adopt it in Connecticut.
Well, didn't you, Jerry, get some pretty pleasant news from the math subcommittee for that commission, that they were very well impressed with what you had to say?
One of my colleagues has been working with the math working group for the under the commission, and with her input, they've come up with a sort of a guideline on what should comprise the math standards. We use the Minnesota framework for our mathematics standards, K through 12, and strengthen them where we saw appropriate. They like that approach. Of course, they're not free to publish or to announce their findings yet, but we're pretty confident that with our input to the working group and reacting to what they are looking for, we're pretty confident about our math standards.
Great. Glad to hear that.
Well, Kim, I hate to get you wound up.
That's real hard to do, you know.
But for some of our less informed listeners that may not really understand what all the commotion's about, what are some of the problems with Common Core?
Age inappropriateness is a big one. Indoctrination is a big one. One size fits all is a big one. The math is K through 3 is, from my perspective, unintelligible. There's classes for parents to take so that they can help their kids with their homework. That bothers me a lot, that the kids would come home and think that their parents were stupid because they couldn't help them with their kindergarten or
first
grade
math. And didn't
you
come to the conclusion that's by design?
Yes.
To separate children from their parents so they can be properly indoctrinated?
Yes, and you know, that's my opinion, and I've been told recently that I've got a very loud opinion, so I've decided...
Thank heaven!
Well, I decided that I'm not a credentialed expert, but I'm an expert on my own opinion.
Absolutely. Well,
and
you've
done a lot of study. You know what you're talking about.
You mentioned age appropriateness, and I guess that's because now they're teaching about gender and sexual preferences and just about anything to do with sex is being taught at, what, fourth, fifth, sixth grade levels now?
Well,
or even earlier.
Earlier, yeah. Scholastic, do you remember those little flyers we used to get in school that had all the pictures of all the books and you could order them on Fridays? You get to order your books from Scholastic, the book clubs. Well, they are very socially and politically correct. And some of the books that they have put out and sent as samples to teachers have been beyond belief. There was one that came out to one of the members in CCTA that he showed us, and it was basically about a transgender elementary school student.
Oh, good grief.
Mm. Well, you know, I sent out an email when it kind of explained some of Jerry's work and what he's been doing and some conclusions that he's come to, and I got a response from a member of a school board, county school board, not Craven County, pretty distant from here. He said, we've got a first teach these kids to read and write before we start talking to them about critical thinking. And I said, I don't think there's anybody in our group that would disagree with that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of beside the point.
Yeah, Jerry, I think you attended Camp Liberty, annual presentation a group does down in Goldsboro. And I think one of the remarks you made was, my heart broke when a lovely teenage girl described how her teacher had given them porn to read and discuss. And when she confronted her teacher, she was told, I am your teacher, and I will decide what you read and learn. So, and the department head wasn't much better.
No. She said the department head freaked. That was her word, freaked, when she told him that she had confronted her teacher. It was like, you know, you're not supposed to rock the boat or confront your teachers about anything that you have a question about or that you might disagree with. The Camp Liberty experience was very... It was a learning experience for us. It was a pleasure to present the North Carolina Education Plan again to a new audience and get that word out. But we also were on the stage with Dr. Rosemary Stein, who is a renowned pediatrician in the state of North Carolina. And she presented a lot of material that pointed to the age inappropriateness of a lot of the material. And it's not just that it's sex or it's of a certain topic or whatever, but it's actually messing with the way that we learn as human beings, as young human beings, as children. The way our mind, especially I think it's the prefrontal lobe, forms and grows is a certain way. And we're giving, under Common Core, we're trying to teach these children things that they are not ready for yet.
So we're setting them up for failure.
Yes, we're setting them up for failure, and we're giving them if I could use the word, a complex, that they're, you know, that, and this is one of the reasons why a lot of children wind up on some sort of prescription
anxiety
medicine.
They just can't handle it.
They just can't handle it, no.
So they learn to hate learning at a very early age. How wonderful.
Would you also consider that there's a veiled attempt at indoctrination?
Well, I don't think there's a concentrated effort. It seems like it from the outside, but I think most of these people really think that this is the way, you know, since we've been criticized for the way we educate our children and we're falling further and further behind other countries, many of these people really think that this is the way to go. And I think in many cases they go too far. They get carried away like we do a lot in this country anymore, and they go from something that might be reasonable to way up the other end of the scale, and they overdo it.
Right.
And then they get into trouble.
Most of those countries now have gone far enough mm-hmm. that they failed, and there's history for us to look at, so we don't need to make the same mistakes.
That's right.
Kim?
Well, I'm going to make one of those pesky little statements called a fact. And a fact is that our statistics compared to America to other countries didn't start to decline until after the Department of Education got involved.
That's right.
When the government got involved, that's when things started falling apart.
That applies to everything they get involved in, it seems like. Well, you mentioned Rosemary
Stein.
Isn't she running to replace June Atkinson, Department of Public Instruction?
Rosemary has announced her candidacy for the DPI, Superintendent of Schools, running next year. She is an excellent candidate. She has a background in education. Her family and her parents and others were educators, teachers, and such. And she and her husband operate a pediatric clinic in Burtonsville. Both of them are very, very knowledgeable about the learning process and the metacognition of young children. And they have a lot to say about the appropriateness of material.
Well, I think what makes her an attractive candidate is her knowledge of Common Core. It seems like some of the ones that are in there now have no idea what it's all about. Well, we need to take a break and hear from our sponsors. We'll pick up the conversation where we left off. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're in the studios this morning. We have Hal and Rainer James, Jerry Egolf, and Kim Fink. And we're talking about education here in North Carolina. And Jerry, I know there's a lot of data mining associated with Common Core, it seems. Who uses the student data?
Quite a few organizations, Rick. This was something that was brought up again at Camp Liberty. And earlier last week, we also had the opportunity to meet with the Classroom Teachers Association of North Carolina, Judy Kidd and Steve Oreskovic, I think I pronounced that correctly, the president and vice president of the CTA NC. Right now, their big challenge is this KEA law or legislation that's working its way around.
KEA means what?
KEA is the, thank you, but I was getting to that, kindergarten entry
assessment.
And, with Common Core, one of the more onerous things about it is not just the curriculum or the standards, but the testing and assessment that goes on with the different courses.
Well, that's the what a lot of kids have complained about, just being tested and tested.
Yeah, a lot of them have been opting out because of that. It's been in the news. But the other side of that is the data that's gathered from the different assessments. It's not just a test like you and I used to take. It's an assessment about different things. It's kept in a database. That database then feeds a state database from the local school. It feeds a state database, which even then shares some of that information with the federal government, with the Department of Education.
Well, Kim, you were showing us earlier today about some information that they take, medical information on real young kids, that it seems totally inappropriate that be a matter of record.
Well,
it should be only between the parent and the child, really.
Yes, there's a couple bills in play right now. One is the entry into school, and it used to be called the kindergarten assessment, but now they're changing the name to be health assessment report, and anybody just coming into the school will have to have it too. But I have it in my hand, and this one is a PPS-2K revision, and it's called North Carolina Kindergarten Health Assessment Report. And it has a section for the parents to complete and a section for the healthcare provider to complete. But under the healthcare provider, it includes developmental concerns, and it also asks if your child's genitals are normal, and under other developmental thing, it has emotional and social skills and problem solving. And this section is to be filled out by a healthcare provider who sees your child once a year. And this is the first piece of data that will go into the digital profile of your child. I don't think it's right. I don't know why that information belongs in a school record, and I think it's a intrusion on parents' privacy and dangerous to be in a data file.
Kim, does that data feed into the system that it's proposed that it be shared actually from school through the work system and is available to all kinds of people, not just the schools?
Well, this this healthcare assessment is part of House Bill 13 that's on its fifth version, and it's still going back and forth, and it specifies what information shall be included on this assessment transmittal form and who's authorized to have access to it. But it's not been passed or agreed to yet, but it does go into a lot of detail about what can and can't be on. For instance, it indicates that the health assessment shall include medical history, a physical exam, a vision screening, hearing screening, testing for anemia and tuberculosis, and then it goes on to say screening conducted in accordance with another general statute that I don't know what it is. And then it should also include dental screening and developmental screening for cognition, language, and motor function. The developmental screening and cognition language abilities may be conducted in accordance with GS-115C-83.5. So it looks like they're going to implement this in two sections. I was asking for clarification on that today because I had some other information on that 115C83.5 developmental thing. And here again, we're talking about kindergartners. And you understand when I was saying my kids in kindergarten, they wanted to know if they could count to 10, if they knew their ABCs, and if they were potty trained.
Is there any chance that would have to be shared with the federal government through that data sharing thing we've been looking at?
I don't know.
Well, it's hard to say at this point.
It's a small. What's being shared with each echelon is proportional. I mean, the local school district has it all. The state gets a certain pie piece of that, and then the federal government gets another pie piece of that. By the time it gets to the federal government, though, how it's supposed to be fairly generic. In other words, just this bunch of students took a test and these many got A's, these many got B's, and so forth. But what's happening is that the word is not getting out about the privacy that's provided in many statutes prior to this stuff coming out.
Right. That's where the big concern is.
Yeah. And
what other types of data are they collecting?
Well, they, first of all, the something called the PII, the personally identifiable information. For most of us, that's social security numbers, names, birth dates, places of birth, and things like that. Anything that someone would be able to use to say that that is Rick Hopkins or that is Kim Fink or whomever, because it's unique to you. The other part of that is what they call directory data, which is the grade point average and what they did on a test and different things like that. The two are not supposed to be connected in anything that they divulge. Now, a couple things that I came across today in research and getting ready for the show, and I think this is two things I want to read quickly. One, FERPA, which is the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, has some limitations in it, and it also has some things that are very important for parents to know and understand. But I want to read this short statement. FERPA requires that records for a school be maintained separately and not mingled with data from other school systems or users, and that individuals employed by the provider may only access school records when necessary to provide the service to the school system. So if all the school systems, the 115 school districts in North Carolina, are all feeding a database, this longitudinal database at DPI, it's going on the same server. To me, that's mingling data, because anybody can pull specific data from that. And that seems to be a violation of FERPA. The other thing is that parents may opt out. There's two definitions that folks need to be aware of. A student, when you see the term student in these laws and papers and so forth, student is interpreted by them to be older than 18 years of age.
What?
Okay. Below that, you're still a student, of course, but that student older than 18 has the right to see their data. Below that, younger than 18, it's the parent's responsibility, but it's also the parents' right to look at that data and see what the school is collecting on their children. And furthermore, a parent has the ability to opt out. Just like the kids and some of the parents are opting out of the tests and assessment, they can opt out of that data gathering. And once they opt out, it's indefinite. Okay, so I think those are some important points, I think, that parents need to understand.
Yeah, parents need to know they can opt out.
Well, for parents,
it's intrusive.
For parents, it's important. I would really like everyone to look at House Bill 401. It's got to do with the data, mining data sharing. But in addition to that, when you're talking about the opt-out issue, if you're looking at the reauthorization of the No Child Left Behind, the House passed their version and the Senate passed their version. One's every child achieves and the other is the Student Success Act.
You're talking U.S. House and Senate.
Yes, U.S. Yeah. House and Senate. But this is going to affect the parents' right to opt out, because in Lamar Alexander's version of it, parents will not be allowed to opt out.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back to continue this discussion. Well, welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. A little bit more than 1 minute left here. So, Jerry, in real brief time we have, can you tell us what makes your North Carolina plan better, and what can the listeners out here do to help support that?
We will be getting up a website shortly, www.nceducationplan.org or .com, excuse me. And we will list, we'll have a copy of the plan on there and what this all entails. Briefly though, Rick, we had three goals: stronger standards that people could understand. They're much, much better and stronger than Common Core. We get the teachers involved. The teachers are back to building their curriculum and working with standards that they can understand. It was very important that we got the North Carolina classroom teachers on board with us. And third, we do encourage the parents to work with us, and we're anxious to hear from them, hear their suggestions, their concerns. We have some ideas that we want to push forward for a parents' academy, for example, and other things. So it's really a three-legged stool, and we want to pay attention to all of those, the standards and how that's developed with critical thinking, the teachers and the parents.
Very good. Well, Jerry, we appreciate your efforts, all that you do, and you too, Kim, and helping with legislative action for education here in North Carolina. And I know you put a lot of work into it, and you've got a lot of good people working with you. And we really do appreciate and value your participation. And I'd also like to invite our listeners to visit our website at cctaxpayers.com, where they can find out how they can participate in the grassroots efforts of CCTA. We frequently take trips to Raleigh and visit our legislators and try to influence legislation, make recommendations to them, give them feedback from the grassroots efforts, from we the people. They don't get enough of that, and they do like to hear from us, and they do respond. So, folks, you need to get involved and try to affect things that concern you by being a participant, not just a listener, but be a doer. Frankly, folks, I don't understand why there's not more and more people there on a regular basis voicing their outrage and concerns over what's taking place in our government. How do we sit back and be silent when there is so much going on around us that's just unbelievable? It's out of control. It's time for the people to be heard. And the only way you're going to be heard is if you go there in person. Emails are good, letter writing's good, but showing up in person is what really makes a difference. So visit cctaxpayers.com for more information. And if you can't participate, donate. Well, folks, that's all we have time for today. And I hope you'll join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.